In the fifth reading of Parshas Lech Lecha, after Avraham Avinu is greeted by Malki Tzedek, who is the king of Salem, or the future city of Yerushalayim, Malki Tzedek, we know, is actually the son of Noach, Shem. He's a priest of sorts. The Torah has requirements that gifts be given to the Kohen, and indeed Avraham Avinu gives gifts to this Kohen. But you must know that Avraham Avinu's gifts to Malki Tzedek did not include any of the articles that he had captured from the four kings. And he wanted to return all of this. He didn't want to take any of these articles for himself. And this is how the fifth reading opens, with Avraham Avinu having a dialogue with the king of Sodom. And the discussion is about the booty of battle. Vayemer Melech Sodom El Avram, the king of Sodom says to Avram, this is a meeting of the ages. The king of Sin City of antiquity is meeting the paragon of morality, the person who promulgates the idea of one God and decent, righteous behavior. And they're having this strange meeting. And the king of Sodom, who is known for his arrogance, is suddenly at the mercy, as it were, of Abraham, the humble servant of Hashem. So the king of Sodom says, "Ten li nefesh." Okay, let's negotiate. At least give me the citizenry. Literally, give me the souls. Baruchush kachloch. You can take the money. I'll take the souls. Now, if you think about this, it's a very deep message here. Because Sodom says, I'm not really after your money. I want your neshama. I really want our soul. That's what I really want. But anyway, Avraham Avinu does not exactly respond as he wants this. Rashi explains that Tenli HaNefesh, the king is not asking for anything spiritual per se. He wants Min Hashvi Shali Shehitzalta Hachazili, from all of the booty you have captured, return to me Hagufim, the people, Levadam, because I won't be a king otherwise. And money, well, it's yours. You earned it fair and square. Vayomer Avraham El Melech Sodom, Avraham, the great and holy paragon and teacher of godliness, says to the king who led and heralded absolute immorality and arrogance that knew no borders. He said to him, "Hari Moisi Yodi El Hashem Kel Elyon. I have raised my hand and sworn, if you will, to God, He was Most High. Koine Shomayim Va'aretz, who has acquired heaven and earth." Harimoisi Yodi, what's up with the hand raising? Says Rashi Lashon Shavua. It sounds like an action, but actually, it's more of a representation of what we would call an oath. So Avraham Avinu says, "I swear by God, Meirim Anies Yodi Lekel Elyon, I raise my hand to God who is Most High, as if to swear in His name." And we find similar things like this, of the raising of a hand and swearing. V'chein, we see, Bin Ishbaiti, in me you have sworn. And this is going to be later on, in chapter 22 of Genesis. Or Nishbaani, I have sworn. V'chein Nasati Kesef HaSodeh, Avraham Avinu says to them, I have already given. It's as if I've already given the money for this piece of real estate. Kach mimeni, take it from me. It doesn't mean, it means Naisan Anilakha Kesef Asada. I'm going to give you the money. What is Rashi addressing here? Avraham Avinu is not telling the king of Sodom what he has done. It's his dynamic. The king of Sodom says, let's negotiate. Give me the people, you take the cash. Avraham says, I swear by God, I'm not taking anything. But Hari Moisi is past tense. I am raising my hand. Not I'm raising my hand, not I will raise my hand, but Harimaisi sounds like I raised my hand. So Rashi brings us a number of examples when it comes to Shavua, when it comes to an oath, that even though the verbiage is used that we're using here seems to be non-dynamic, but rather matter-of-fact telling of what was, nonetheless, it means this is happening now. Harimaisi, Avraham is making an oath. And he says, just like he said to Ephron, I've already given you the money of the field, which he didn't give yet because Avraham Avinu still negotiated. Right after that, he says, Kocheu mimena, take it from me. And Avraham goes further and he says, Imichut v'ad srech nal. Whether it be not from a thread to a shoelace. This is a euphemism. Meaning the smallest amount of money I don't want. Even the smallest of things, the modicum of value, a'akev la'atzmi, I will not retain. Min hashvi, from all of this booty. Avraham goes on to say, v'im ekach mikol ha'shaloch, and lest I take anything that is yours. You will not say, ani sharti es Avraham. How will this look, my friends? The king of Sin City goes around and says, Abraham, the servant of God. Yeah, of course he's wealthy. Ha! It's all from Las Vegas. He made it from my casinos. It's all from the oldest trade and all the other ways that he was pulling in cash. That's what the money is. You think you're getting holy money over there? You think, what do you think? This is contributions. Avraham earned the money by the sweat of his brow. Anechtigetag, he claims that he's against immorality, but he's very happy to profit from it. Avraham understood this very well. Avraham says, you will never be able to say, you gave me as much as a shoelace, or what we call in English today, a red cent. And if you'll say, I'll pay you at least, give me back the booty, I'll pay you. Avraham says, for me, I won't take nothing. You won't say, I made Abraham wealthy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hivtichani la'ashreini. It is God who said, he'll make me wealthy. He'll find a way. Shanema va'avarechecha. And we learned avarechecha means, Rashi told us, b'momen. Avraham says, the thing is this. I can have mesiras nefesh. I can lay my life on the line and take every risk and then refuse payment. For myself, I can do that. But you can't make somebody else's mesiras nefesh. Mesiras nefesh means to give away your soul. Give away your life. Avraham said, give my life away. I can't give somebody else's life away. It's not fair for me to say people who deserve to be paid for their services, well, they have to work for free because I work for free. I work for free, said Avraham. They won't. Hana'orim, Avraham says, biladi, with the wil'odai, not for me, accepting me. But however, but except for that, rak asher ochla hana'orim, I just want my expenses paid. That's fair. Whatever the na'orim ate, they're going to come and give me a bill for their lunches or whatever else it was. The people, they need to get reimbursed. The portion of the people who went with me, they deserved what they deserved. They went to war. They risked their lives. Now it's theirs. That's their thing. I can't give that away. Einar, Eshkol, and Mamre, who didn't go with Avraham. But Avraham speaks about their portion too. And he says, hey, mikhu chelchem, they should take their portion. Rashi says, what does this mean? Hane'orim, the young people, the young lads, avodai, my servants, ashaholchu iti, they came along and they joined me. The oid, and then in addition to that, there's Einol, Eshkol, and Mamre. Sha'avodai nichnasu la'melchama, my servants went to battle. Shenemar, as it says earlier in verse 15, hu va'avodav va'yakeim, Avraham, his servants, and they smote them. It says they, so they were on the battle. They were in the theater. But the Einar v'chaverav, Yoshua al-Akelim Lishmer, they were the home defense. They stayed and watched the homestead. And because they were national defense, back home, that's another story. So they have to get paid also. And Afilo Hachi, even though they didn't actually go into battle, they were just there to watch the residuals. Hey, Miku Chalkum, they get their portion. And Avraham Avinu was, if you could say, so insistent that the guards and combatants share their portion of the booty and the spoils of war, that this actually becomes a permanent custom amongst his descendants, and David HaMelech gave it the force of law. As we men alone David, it was from this that David learned. Shenemar David said, Kechelek hayered v'vachama, like the portion of those who went into the theater of battle, or Kechelek hayeshev al hakelim yachtav, and those who were home, ensuring that the actual homestead is protected, they also will receive a portion. And it's Kechelek hayered, it's divided 50-50.
Homeland security.
Homeland security, correct, that's the word I was looking for. In the United States, they call it the National Guard.
That's right.
I'm not sure what it's called in Canada. Right? There's a National Guard that has they're the official in case there would be an invasion of the mainland. They are the ones who protect home front. And then
CSIS or something?
I don't think so.
The reserves.
Huh?
Reserves.
Yeah. Reserves. In Canada, it's reserves. But reserves in the United States are actually part of the main army. That's the army.
Yeah.
So in the United States, it's actually two separate sure it is.
Not in Canada.
Oh. No, in the United States, the National Guard is the National Guard, mm-hmm. and they wear uniforms, they have forts and whatever else it is, and centers, but they're really there to protect the actual states. Every state has its own fighting force. And then there's a National Army, which is National Defense, and they're the ones who, you know, who went over to Europe to fight in World War II, the ones who went to Afghanistan and so on and so forth. At any rate, so that's the way it was structured in the time of the Jewish people's monarchy, when the Jewish people lived in Eretz Yisrael, in peace, because they had a fighting force that defended them. With those, the National Guard who stayed home, and those who went out and did battle. And Moshe don't learn from Avraham Avinu. Lakach Nemar, that's why it says, from that day and onward, David HaMelech established it as law, giving it the force of the legal, legal force. But in Nemar, it doesn't say, going forward only because this idea already became established by none other than Avraham Avinu himself. It's pretty interesting. So, you have what's happening hundreds of years later, after the birth of a nation, and the going into slavery, and the coming out, and the whole story, and until eventually we come to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech says, yeah, this is how we do it. What do you mean this is how we do it? When did we start doing this? Avraham says, when? By the time of Avraham Avinu, says David. We've been doing it ever since when? So for those who think that the battles of Avraham are mutually exclusive of the battles of David HaMelech, think again. It's one continuum. Avraham did battle in his time, and he was victorious. And David HaMelech did battle in his time. And with David HaMelech, the battles ended, and Shlomo was supposed to be peace. It was peace. But of course, unfortunately, then it was a downward descent. We disintegrated from inside. This is the end of the conversation. Conversation closed. Was Avraham in it for the love or for the money? Think about this. If he was in it for the money, he would have took the money. As they say, you take the credit, I'll take the cash. Avraham didn't say. He said, no, I don't need anything. It's all God. I don't want anything from you. Don't give me a red cent. He's in it for the love of God. Is he? After these words, Hayadvar Hashem al Avraham, comes the word of God to Avraham. And the word of God must come afterwards, because it says, Achar hadvarim, hayadvar. So we don't know what these words are. We'll soon see in Rashi. The machazet came in a vision, a nocturnal vision. Doesn't really say machazah laila, but in a vision. What exactly that means, we do not necessarily know, because you have to experience it to know it. Just like somebody who never saw colors, he's blind from birth, will never understand what it means, I saw something. But what does it mean? Doesn't know. So we never had a vision, we never know what it means. But it's a Dvar Hashem, it does not necessarily a broadcast, it's not necessarily an audio or a video. It's a Dvar Hashem, the word of God, a communication to God. It comes in some kind of vision. Maybe it comes to seeing certain imagery and knowing what God meant. But the word of God came to Avraham. And the word of God was, Al tira Avraham, do not be fearful. Anoichi magen lach, I am your shield. Or, you don't have to, this was all on me, so to speak. Schorcho harbe maid. You're going to get tremendous reward. In a second. I thought Avraham is in it for the love, not the money. Abrahamic amore is all about love. And here we have Avraham. God said, don't worry, the money's on the way. Check is in the mail. Check is in the mail. Avraham didn't want a check. He didn't want the money. Now he's worried about his reward. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, Achar advarim ha'ela, which words are these? Kol makom, first thing Rashi says is whenever you find the word achar, when it says advarim ha'ela, it means that this is samuch. Achar means immediately afterwards. Avraham must have said something, must have expressed himself in some way. And immediately afterwards, God responds, acharei, when there's a yud at the end of that word. Then it's muflog. Then it means sometime later, a distant time later. The Torah here emphasizes achar advarim ha'ela. The words, whatever these words are, these words came immediately after the battle and the victory and the negotiation. right after this whole story. Acha shenasa loy nezeh, after this miracle happened, namely, shahara, I guess, hamalachim, that he killed the kings. And then after he killed the kings, Hayadayek v'yemer Avraham Avinu was concerned, he was worried, and he said, Shemo kibalti sachar al kol tzidkoisai. Maybe I just cashed in all my brownie points. I got no chips left. I spent all of my virtues, all of the reward that Hashem put aside for me, I spent it on staying safe. That's what protected me during these wars. These were crazy wars, impossible battles, and Avraham Avinu was victorious. How did it happen? Nothing comes for free. It had to have a price, a price tag. Avraham Avinu said, I just depleted all of my spiritual bank accounts. I just used all of the reward that Hashem promised for me. And if I used all the reward Hashem promised for me, oy vey, that's not good. So this is the Acharat Dvarim Ha'ela. Kibalti sachar al kol tzidkoisai. So what does God say to Avraham? You're concerned that your miraculous victory represents the full compensation of your accrued merits? You think that you're supplanting other rewards with this victory of staying alive? What did God promise him? What was the rewards Hashem promised him? That he's going to have offspring, and he's going to get the land of Israel, and he's going to be able to continue his mission and do what he's supposed to do. And now he says, that's it. Maybe I'm not going to have children now. Maybe I'm not going to get the land of Israel now. What do I get instead? Instead, I get to live. It's not bad to live, but who needed this? I could have stayed away from the whole thing, and I had everything coming to me. So after all this, don't be afraid. I am your shield. What does this mean? So really, Avraham Avinu seems to be concerned about two things. Number one, he's afraid min ha'inish. Maybe God's measure of judgment is now, the attribute of judgment will be arrayed against Avraham for having killed so many innocent people. Avraham Avinu is not even certain. He said, I used up my accrued merits and I don't even know. I have nothing else to spend now. How will I stand before God? So our Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no thing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. And the way the Mefarshim explained this, Rashi, the word mage means free in Aramaic. It's free. The Medrash gives us the metaphor that there was a situation of a guy who was clearing out the thistles and thorns, and then the king saw him and said, what are you doing in my garden? And the guy said, the king caught me. He said, I'm sorry, I was just taking. The king said, no, don't worry. Take it out of here. The king said, I always have to hire a gardener. You did me a favor. These are horrible people, monsters, rapists, ISIS members. Thank you for killing them. Thank you for eliminating them, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu. You've done a great service to God and humanity. Magin lecha. It's all for free. You have nothing to worry about. You haven't spent any of your accrued merits. Masha'at adayig al kibul scharcha. You're worried about your reward? Nothing to worry about. Scharcha harbe ma'oid. Your reward is very great. Avraham Avinu was worried about reward. And here we have what seems to be a bit of a contradiction. On one hand, Abrahamic amore is the virtue and value we're supposed to try to commit to and follow, serving Hashem out of love. And Avraham Avinu doesn't want money, doesn't want the cash. He says, I don't want any earnings. And yet, Avraham is worried about, he's worried about rewards. So how do we understand this? The Rebbe asked this question on page Kusav Avav Yud Gimel. Simon Yud Gimel in the Biur HaChomesh. L'cha'ere ha'davar deirish biur. This needs to be better understood. Harei avedas Hashem shel Avraham Avinu ha'isa lishma. If you want to sum up Abraham's devotion and dedication, his love and loyalty to God in a word, you would say Avraham served God for the purest reasons. There was nothing that he was looking for. No axe to grind, no profit to make. It was lishma, for the sake of serving God. In the words of the Mishnah, Shaloi al manas lekabel per schachar. He wasn't looking for a payback, a reward. Kedivrei Rambam. Like, for example, the words of the Rambam in the beginning of the 10th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says, Ha'oived me'ahava. Do you know what the meaning of somebody who serves God for love? Not for money. Serve God for love. For glav means loy mipnei davar ba'olam, not because there's something to be achieved or gained. V'loy mipnei yiras hara, not because you're afraid of punishment. V'loy kadei li reshateva, and not to inherit the good in the future. Ela oisa es ha'emes, you do the truth, mipnei shehu emes. Why are you doing this? Because it's the right thing to do. What, are you going to get a payback? I don't care. It's not about a payback. It's the right thing to do. I do what's right because it's right. And then Rambam says, who coined that phrase? Who is the one who came up with this methodology that I serve God doing the truth because it's true? Vehi Mailas Avraham Avinu. That is the virtue of Father Abraham. Abrahamic Amore. You know what Amore means?
Love.
Love. It's Italian. It comes from Latin.
Amore.
Amore. Abrahamic Amore. This is how we're supposed to do it.
The Italians got it right.
He's supposed to do it out of love for God. How did Abraham serve God? Le'ovad elo me'ahava. He only served out of love. Excuse me, Rabbi. If he only served out of love, how do you explain this verse? Avram experiences great anxiety, expressing concern. What will happen to my reward? Reward? You only serve God with love.
What's going on over here?
So the Rebbe gives us a Meira Dikabir, a Meira Dikabir, a wonderful explanation here.
Avaydas Hashem Lishma, serving God for the right reasons, for the purest reasons,
with absolute sincerity. Means she'adam eni chayshav al to'alasei ha'ishis. He's not thinking about me.
Most people are into hashtag me, period. Not me too, not me yes, not me three. They're just into me.
What's in it for me? That's all they want to know. Will I get rich, famous, happy, have fun? What will I get from it? Elohu po'el ach v'rak l'man shmei shlakadosh baruch hu. The one who serves God out of love doesn't do it for me. It's not what's in it for me, it's what does God want? When a person is at that level, where it's not about me at all, none of us are there, by the way, but this is the mailah, the virtue of Avraham Avinu. This is what we're supposed to aspire to. Abraham reaches this level. And of course, the Medrash tells us that every one of us is obligated to say, Masai Yavai, Maisel, Maisel, Maisel. When will my actions measure up to the actions of my father is Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. The Medrash also says, don't try to stand in big shoes. Just remember, they were the greatest of the great, and we are, okay, trying to do something. So a person like that, Gama Schar Shehu Mekabel Avur HaTorah VaMitzvos, the reward he gets is also for what? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like the person in business who doesn't take a salary. So what does he do with all the profit? He puts it right back into the business. This is known as a non-profit organization.
It wasn't meant to be that way.
Kishim when he gets wealthy. Mechabdim ha'isai, he gets honor. B'schus kiyum ha'teirav ha'mitzvahs, in the merit of the fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs.
Hu eini nena mi'ayishav ha'kovid ha'ishi. He doesn't benefit or enjoy any of that wealth, affluence, or honor. Elo mikach she'mesrav ha'kveit shamayim ba'ilam. He says God's name looks better. It looks better for the cause. It's all about the cause.
It's not about me at all. B'kach sha'kol ro'im. This way everybody can see. Hamakayim teiro mitzvah is a person who fulfills the Torah, studies it, and fulfills its dictums. Zeicha la'oishev ha'kavod. So this will be a great inspiration for others. A person will see somebody who learns Torah, does mitzvahs, is having a hell of a life, suffering with great misery. He looks at this guy and says, oy vey yizmir, do I want to be like that? Why would I want to learn Torah mitzvahs? Look at the last guy who learned Torah mitzvahs. But if the person who's learning Torah doing mitzvahs does fantastic, anybody would say, wow, learn Torah doing mitzvahs and fantastic things happen.
This inspires others to learn Torah and do mitzvahs properly.
And that, my friends, is the key. This unlocks the mystery. This is how we understand Avraham Avinu's request. Mishum Shavram Hoya Oivid Me'ava. Precisely because Avram served God out of love. And he did it betachlis ashlemis in the most perfect way. He did not see in the reward something personal to gain. What did he see? He saw God's honor. That's all it was about. If he'll be rewarded, the name of God is great. When he feared that now God's name would no longer be sanctified through him. Why? Because he spent all his merits. That gave him anxiety. He wasn't worried about me. He wasn't worried about Avram. He was worried about God. He was worried about the cause.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al tira. Relax, Avram Avinu. No anxiety is necessary. You haven't spent your merits.
Your reward is indeed very great. And of course, when we learn about this, we know it's way, way beyond anything we could possibly imagine. We're small people who are steeped in our own selfish desires and needs. However, we could at least learn about Avraham Avinu and try in some small way to measure up to his spiritual stature and his extraordinary greatness. Because Avodas Hashem, when we try a little harder to be like Avraham Avinu, then we come a little closer to seeing the fulfillment of Avraham Avinu's mission of transforming the world by inspiring all of humanity to study, to learn, to fulfill the words of our living God. And this, of course, ushers in the coming of Mashiach. Amen.
So Noah was pure.